because it is. And thank God for his goodness. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to begin here with verse number 9 in this passage of Scripture. And we're going to read through verse number 21 in God's Word this morning. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 9. And notice the Bible says here these words, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever should confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness today. Thank you so much for the privilege to open the Bible and preach to it, thy word. And Lord, today, thank you for the bread of life, the word that gives us the life that we need in our spirit and our life to live for you, to live in this old dark world that we live in. And Father, we need your presence and your blessings and your power this morning as we preach your word. And I ask that you bless and use us in a special way today, God. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture is one of the most blessed passages that you will ever find in all the Bible. It's a powerful picture of the love that God had through us. And it's an amazing love that God had for us. But I don't want to just focus on what the love God is to us. I want to focus more on what the passage teaches us about the love of God through us. Through us. You know, God has a characteristic that Scripture teaches us, is that God is love. Now think of that for just a moment. Think of that for just a moment. It says God is love. It doesn't say that he possesses love. It says that he is love. All definitions of love have to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what he is. He is that love. Thank God for love. Love is a wonderful thing. Thank God for love. How many of you remember the day when you fell in love? Anybody like that? Some of you are so far past that you've almost forgotten about it. Or at least your wife tells me sometimes that you've forgotten about it. Amen. But love's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a joy to know that God is love. God is love. Love is a wonderful thing. You know, Christmas is all about the fact that God sent his Son to die for us because of this great love that he has for us. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't think us as humans really have the love of that same love that God has for us in us. But the truth is that when God comes into a lost person, and You receive him at salvation. There is a work that God is trying to accomplish in us. And the passage calls it perfected love. It's love, the truth of love that God is really trying to accomplish in us. I love my wife. She's a wonderful girl. I love my wife. If it weren't church, I'd have her come up and give her a big kiss. Amen. But I love my wife. I thank God for my wife. But you know what? I think I love her more now than the day when I first got married. You see, how do you explain that? Love for her had to be perfected in me. And trust me, I'm still not there. Amen. Trust me. I'm still not there. But have you ever noticed that love has a way of affecting and changing and making us more? And you know what? As we love each other, that love is only a love that we can get from God. Because God is love, and from him is the perfected love. Amen. It's funny because, you know, when we think of love, most of us humans think of something we receive from it. When God thinks of love, he thinks of it as something he can give to others. And may I tell you, he certainly did. Can I lead you down the path of God's love? He looked down one day and he saw us, imperfect sinners, deceived by sin, yet unknowing that sin was this great offense against God. And we're all sinners. We're all imperfect. There's nobody that's imperfect. And may I tell you, the difference is not that you're a sinner. The difference is what you do about the fact that you're a sinner. That's what makes the difference. And God came to this earth. Imagine leaving heaven and coming back down to earth. Imagine leaving streets of gold to come down here to the dirt and the dust. Imagine the glories of heaven. Jesus seated by the right hand of his Father, and he had to leave that place. And he had to come down. He had to be born as a baby and live on this earth 33 and a half years. And he was spat upon. He was beaten. He was bruised. They took a cat of nine tails and they scourged him. And they called it a cat of nine tails because it was a whip with nine leather straps, and in the leather it was embedded bone and embedded glass and embedded sharp stones, and each time that scourging would hit it would wrap around the body of the victim, and it would be yanked back, and every one of those pieces of bone and glass and sharp rock would rip into the flesh, coming the other direction on the body, rip into the flesh. And literally, they were legally not allowed to give them more than 40 lashes because very few survived after 40 lashes. And that scourging would come around, pull the skin off, and eventually that cat of nine tails would dig into the internal organs of its victim. And so most did not live through that. And the Bible says they took a crown of thorns and they didn't place it on his head like you see in these pictures. And there wasn't just a little trickle of blood coming down on his head like we see. But the Bible says they planted it on his head. They pulled his hair and yanked it and planted it, and the blood flowed from his body. And I don't know if this is true. I'm not a medical doctor or anything, but I understand that sometimes when you bleed from the head, it's the worst type of bleeding that there can be. And Jesus endured that. Jesus went through that. They took nails and they put him through his hands. And I think they probably put him through his wrists or his hand bone, because they put him here, the weight of his body would would rip and he'd fall out. And he wouldn't be able to sustain those nails on the cross. But they nailed him to that cross. And then he asked for something to drink. They took a sponge. They filled it with vinegar. You ever had vinegar? You ever tasted vinegar? This was vinegar mixed with gall. That was spit. They took that sponge, held it on a reed, and put it up to him, and he... That was no thirst quench at all. But that's what he endured. They took a spear and poked it in his side to allow death to take hold quicker. They took that spear and out came the blood and the water of the Lord Jesus Christ. And literally, a victim on the cross would die from exhaustion because they had to pull themselves up every breath just to be able to breathe, because the way the cross would weight on their chest, it would collapse into their lungs, and they literally had to pull. But eventually they'd run out of strength and could no longer pull themselves up to breathe. It was a horrible, agonizing death. But can I tell you something? All of that he did for love. Amen. He did for love. And the object of his love was every one of us. There's nobody excluded. Nobody can say that God does not love them. Amen. He does. Now, where I want to go with the message today is I want you to see that God takes his love and through us, he perfects us to make us what he wants us to be. Amen? You know, love is a powerful force. Love is the type of thing that can make you do something you never thought you'd do. I'll never forget my brother-in-law. He's not a sappy guy. But he was dating a girl one time, and all of a sudden, he didn't have much money, but he had a few dollars. He went down and spent his last dollar on a dozen red roses for this girl. And by the way, he didn't even marry her. But he spent bought a dozen red roses of money, his last dime. Love makes you do something. And can I tell you, when a Christian gets saved, when you get saved and you trust Christ as your Savior, that love has a way of perfecting us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice what he said here. Notice what he said here in verse number 12. It says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And notice the next phrase, his love is perfected in us. And it's not because we loved him, but it's because he loved us. No man naturally turns in love to God. We need the example of love. And he provided the great example by Jesus loving us and going all the way to dying on the cross for us. That is love. So what God is saying is, I want to take love, I want it to dwell in you, and I want it to perfect in you. Let me tell you something. You're not done being a Christian until the day you die. Some people think they can just get saved and that's the answer to all remedies. I got news for you. God wants to continue to work in us so that we can be perfected in love. And just like it's taken me 34 years. Don't quote me on the right number, all right? To have a more perfect love for my wife. Just like it's taken that time, it takes us time to have a more perfect love grow in us for the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's saying here, my love produced in you will create in you a more perfect love. And from that perfect love, notice the first thing I want you to notice is that it changes our love to other people. It changes our love to other people. You know, it'll be a wonderful day when we get to the place where we look at people in this world and we don't look at them with hatred or despising or criticism, but we look at people in this world, even those that are deceived, and there's a lot of them, but we look at them as people that God loves and wants to save them and give them a home in heaven forever. Oh, there ought to be that compassion for others. That, what is it? That's God's love perfected in us. You know, I think one of the hardest groups of people that there are to reach in our world today are Muslims. Muslims are very hard to reach. By the way, it's getting harder and harder to reach about anybody in our world today. So many people have their minds made up, and there's no room for God to be able to influence because their mind and what they think has really become their God. And God is not the God of the Bible in so many minds. It's this God of their thinking. But I want to tell you something. When God reaches into somebody's lost soul and changes them, it doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter where they've come from. That love of God comes into them and changes them, wants to perfect them, make them more like Christ, and teach them to love other people. I believe that's the problem with our world. So many are going against God. That's why everybody hates each other. And it's a terrible world, amen? And the remedy is God. The remedy is God in us, perfecting His love in us, and through that, it's perfected to other people. You know, it's funny because don't get with me when I'm driving down Interstate 35. Because I changed from a pastor to a race car driver. Mario Larson is my name when I'm on the road. And I have this thing where sometimes I want to go fast. Now, I know none of you do that. Amen? But every once in a while, I want to go back. I'm trying to get somewhere, and I go in the left lane, shoot in, take in and out. But then there's days when I'm kind of sleepy at the wheel. I'm kind of just in the middle lane, you know what I mean? Just kind of hanging with traffic. And there's days when I'm just kind of going with the flow, and I want to get over in that left, and somebody cuts me off. Does that ever happen to you? And I'm in Mario mode. And boy, it cut me off. You know what makes me mad? I didn't have the right to do that. You know what? I just did it to somebody else yesterday. Right? And you know what? In our lives, this love of God has to work in us more to cause us to understand, hey, we got to live for others in this world. Live for others. Most unhappiest person in the world is the one who's living just for themselves. Because God didn't meant come into you to and send His love and salvation to you just so you can receive it. He sent it so He sent it through you so that somebody else can receive it through you. Herein is love perfected. Through God's love. That's what God does to us. That's His perfect love. There's a second thing about this perfect love. Look, notice verse 17. It said, herein is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. God gives us a perfect love that through that love, we can be ready for the day of judgment. Now you say, Pastor, I don't believe in judgment. Well, let me tell you something. That won't make it go away. You know, there's a lot of people. We live in this world where everybody's got their own reality of things. I touched on this in Sunday school. If you want to be a boy, you can be a boy, even though you're a girl. If you want to identify as a pink moose, well, you can become a pink moose as long as your mind wants to become a pink moose. There was a girl I heard recently on the news that identifies as a cat. She walks around meowing all the time to people. A cat. The public school literally was required to put a cat litter box in the girls' restroom for this girl. Now, if that ain't crazy, I don't know what is. And by the way, we live in this world where everybody's got an alternate reality. And they believe it. And they want you to believe it. But I want to tell you something. All these things are in our world are satanic deceptions to allow God not to have His love perfected in us. Because that love that's perfected in us is getting us ready for the day when we're going to be judged by God. You know, judgment is not a problem if you're ready for it. Amen? There's no need to worry about judgment if you're ready. And by the way, the first step in getting ready is making sure you've been saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't want to die without the Lord Jesus in your heart. You don't want to die without the Lord Jesus. Because Scripture teaches us that there is an eternal fire, hell forever and ever. And listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You say, well, I'm waiting for a feeling. Well, don't wait around for a feeling. Wait for faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith and your trust in Him. Well, Pastor, I'll be ready one of these days. Hey, listen, Scripture tells us today's the day of salvation. You never know when the trumpet's going to sound. You never know when the last day is going to happen. You never know. Put your faith in Him today. You know, I've heard testimonies of many Christians who later years in life received Christ, and their only regret is that they did not receive Him when they were young and live for Him when they were young. I'm saying that God's love is perfected in us so that we can be ready for that day of judgment. And if there's anything in our lives that's preventing us from being able to stand before God with a clear conscience and a clear heart, if there's anything in our heart that's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, then we're not ready for that day. And God wants us to be ready. God wants us to be ready. And you can be ready. Amen? You can be ready. You can be ready. And that love perfected in us. You know, that's why God gave us the church. So we can hear His word. And little by little, we grow. We become stronger. The word God dwells in us richly. And if we will allow it, it will little by little change us. It by little make us more like Him. This morning service is meant to make us a little more like Him. Tonight, the evening service, make us a little bit more like Him. Wednesday night, make us a little bit more like Him. And then you have to go to work during the week and you become a little bit the other direction. Right. Now, I'm simply saying this. There's a true day of judgment coming and we want to be ready. You know, God wants you to be ready. God wants you to be ready. He wants you to be ready in salvation. He wants you to be ready in your spirit. He wants you to welcome Him coming. Amen? Amen. And so, I tell you what, the older I live, the more and more I look forward to the day when Christ comes. I'm ready for a trumpet. I'm ready. I'm ready to hear that trumpet sound. I'm ready to be caught up from this old world. But you know what? Until then, He's still perfecting that love in me. He's still working that love in me, but not just in me, but through me. You know there is real love if it doesn't stop in you, but that it goes through you. Amen. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 1 with me. Are you still with me? I have to ask sometimes. We were talking about one of our missionaries had a, Brother Hernandez had a thing on his eye that was causing his eyes to close sometimes. And he had to have surgery on the eyelid to be able to take that off. And I said, well, I need that for some of my church people. Amen. Amen. By the way, this may sound funny, but there was a day when I used to sit in the pew too. So I feel your pain. Amen. Sometimes. But anyhow, Galatians chapter 2. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Now notice what this love did to Paul. Verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see what that love did to Paul? That love changed him completely. He said, I don't mind even being crucified with Christ. I don't mind being crucified and laughed at. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, every Christian ought not be ashamed to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love for the Lord Jesus Christ in us ought to make us do what Paul did. We ought to live our life for God. Live our life for God. Oh, are you living your life for God? You know, when we're living our life for God, we're going to want to be in church. Amen. We're going to want to be under the word. Why? That love's got to keep working in us. That love's got to keep making us. You know, you'd be surprised, but when that love is working in you, it can make you the Christian that you want to be. Think of that. When that love is working in you, it can make you that Christian you want to be. You say, preacher, I can't ever overcome this issue in my life. Oh, yeah, you can. But the love of God has to be perfected in us. He keeps working in us. And the Apostle Paul, listen, let me tell you something. Apostle Paul was a hater of Christians. I've said this many times. Paul was a hater of Christians. And now this love changed him so much that now he's willing to give his all, sacrifice, whatever it takes to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you that kind of Christian? I say to you today, God wants to work this kind of thing in us through the love of Christ. The love of Christ is not just to me. The love of Christ is through me. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's a dear member of our church is in a jail this morning, falsely accused. You're falsely accused. And I'll tell you what, I feel sometimes like I'm right there with him. Amen. Even though I'm not, and I don't face what he does. But you know what? I want to tell you something. I don't want just God's love to me. I want it to go through me to other people. I want God's love to go through me all the way to the mission field. I want God's love to go to me, but not just to me, but through me all the way to the jail, all the way to my neighbor, all the way to that one who may or may not like me. But that's what the perfection of the love of God desires to do in us. Makes us more like him. The Apostle Paul knew that. Take your Bible and go with me to Romans chapter 5. Are you still with me? Romans chapter 5. What does that love do? How does that perfect love work in us? Book of Romans chapter number 5. Love this verse. I hope you'll commit it to memory if you never have, but it's wonderful. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, notice. Romans 5, let's look at verse 6 to get the context. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God didn't care that we were sinners. He cared that he loved us. That's what drew him to the cross. He could look at our old blackened hearts and he knows us and he does. There's nothing escapes his eye, is there? He sees us. He knows the real us. But you know what? His love defied the sin because his love loved us so much. And when you and I get saved, that same love is to work through us. Don't just keep God's love in you. Keep God's love working through you to whatever is going on in this world, in this life. You see, Monday morning, the love of God needs to come through us. On Tuesday night, it needs to come through us. On Thursday afternoon, the love of God needs to come through us. And may I say, certainly on Friday night, the love of God needs to come through us in all that we do, in all that we say. You know, this should defy the type of Christianity that says, you know what, God, I need you as my emergency plan. God, I'm going to draw close to you because I have this need and this problem. God, if you'll fix my need, I'll serve you. And what happens? God graciously takes care of the need because he's such a great God. But what do? We forsake him until the next emergency comes up. And you know what? That's not real love. Real love sticks with Jesus through the thick and the thin because he stuck with us through the thick and the thin. His love is in us if you're saved, but it wants to be perfected in us. God's trying to make his love come in us and through us. Oh, listen. Transfer, let God's love work in you from the place of where you're a Christian who has God as an emergency plan. By the way, imagine what God thinks in heaven. When he came to earth and he died for us, he shed his blood. He has this great love for us. And then we treat him like a 911 call. God, I got a problem, come fix it. God, fix my problem. As soon as we fix God's problem, then we're off somewhere else. Oh, listen, that's not real love. It's not real love. Real love is when you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to serve you no matter what. It's like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I want to live for you. Your love is in me, but Lord, help your love to be through me. You know, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is love something or someone that's unloving. That's not easy. But it's called unconditional love. And it is a work that God is trying to work in us all the time. It is his nature in us. And by the way, the reason he moved into it, live in our hearts when we're saved, is not just to give us a ticket to heaven, but to allow him to be seen through us, through this whole world, that the world can know there truly is a God of love. When they spat upon him and beat him with a cat of nine tails, when they planted that crown of thorns on his head, he looked up to God in heaven and he said, Father, forgive him. They know not what they do. Only love can do that. Only love can do that. So I say to you today, first of all, is God in you? Have you been saved? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know he's inside of you? And may I say to you today, he can never perfect through you what he never has done first to you. You need to be saved. And salvation is acknowledging that you're a sinner and asking Christ to come into your heart, save you, and wash your sins away in his blood. And I want to tell you what, he is willing to do that just like that, if you will. because of his great love. If you've never been saved, today will you open your heart to him and trust him? And if you're here today and you've been saved, you know the Lord is your Savior. Can I ask you, is the Lord working through you to do anything? His love is not just to us. His love is to us, but through us. His great love. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Well, what a simple but powerful truth.